What I'm here to talk to you guys about is what is the NAV20s? We talked about the 20s and the 30s, and the NAV20s, just to give you a little insight, we couldn't really say the NAV20 and 30s because that's not a name that really flows, but really that's why it's called the NAV20s. So it's 20s and 30s, people getting out of college. There's a lot of transitions that go on in life. Would you guys agree? It's like we get out of college and we're like wondering, what the heck is going to be the next step? I remember when I was getting out of college, I was thinking to myself, okay, where am I going to live? Where am I going to go to church? Where am I going to work? Do I want to start dating? Do I want to get married? How far after that do I want to start having kids? And it's like, then I want to start advancing in my career because, you know, some of us want to go out there and build a career, and some people maybe just want to have more kids. You know, I remember thinking those things and wondering, like, what is that going to look like? What does God have in mind for my life? Just a little bit about myself so you guys know. My wife was actually here tonight. She was in the back left of the sanctuary. We had three kids there. I think we were the only family with three people with three. We had the twins and the two-year-old, and then we're expecting our fourth. So we have five-year-old twins, and we have a two-year-old, and then one on the way in March. A little bit about us. We've actually been together for about 9 years or so, and we met while my wife was actually going to school at UCO. So we've been together for quite a while, and right now I'm in the business. I don't get funded by ministry. It's really, I'm working just like a lot of people out there, but we have this really exciting calling, you know, on how to affect other people. And so we felt like about the fall of last year that there's this 20s ministry that's really, there's a gap in Oklahoma. They're doing it all over the country. We really wanted to launch this NAV20s ministry. And so it's helping people go through the transitions in life, the things that I talked about. So some of the questions you might be asking yourself, what is your plan after graduation? Over the next 3 to 5 years, do you have a plan? At the same point, do you know where you're going to be living in the next 5 years? Do you plan to get married or start a family? How and where will you get your first job or that next promotion after college? What's the wisest way to spend your money? I struggle with all those questions. Anybody, one or more of those questions you struggle with? Okay. I had a hard time pinpointing what is God's call for my life. The intention of really this ministry is to identify with people getting out of that transition and help them move past that. This generation that we have, the millennials, and then your generation is a generation really after millennials. I think it's Generation Next. Have you guys heard that? I think it's actually called, okay, how many people are like juniors and seniors in here? Most people, freshmen, sophomores? Sophomore. Okay, so most people, so the reason that you guys are in here, you're like juniors and seniors, like, what am I going to be doing next, right? So 78 million are in this generation called Generation Next. You know, I would say Generation Next and the millennials. Of the workforce by 2030, 50% of these people in this generation are going to be, 50% of the U.S. workforce is going to be this millennial and next generation by 2030. 65% claim Christianity, but only 20% claim to be born again, and only 6% affirm statements identifying themselves as evangelical. 65% of Christians rarely or never attend worship services. 34% don't know what will happen when they die. That's over 26.5 million here in the United States. And 50% of those who believe, of those who believe, they will go to heaven. Actually, I don't know if I missed something here. So a lot of you guys have, maybe you've been involved in the Navigators at OU, at OSU, at Langston, or OU, is it OUBSU? Yeah, you guys have been involved in that, right? Well, so the 20s mission or the mandate is advancing the gospel among 20s right where you are. I think all of us, we have relationships that nobody else has. Right where you are is, you have relationships, what's your name?
Tiana.
Tiana has relationships that nobody else has. All of the relationships she has added up together, no one else has the same exact relationships that she has. Just like I have unique relationships, and I'm at where I'm at for a specific reason. Okay, so no one can probably affect the same people that Tiana can because of the relationships she has, you know, where she's specifically at. Engage fruit of foundational ministries, so collegiate and military. Rays of laborers for the cities and the nations. What happens is, is people are being trained, and people in college are being trained, and they feel like they're learning these tools. At OSU, at OU, at Langston, you're learning these tools on how to share the gospel, how to share your faith. But then a lot of people get out of college, and you're like, okay, where do I go from here? Can I continue this on? Anybody relate? Like thinking, I don't know if I'm going to be able to continue on what I'm actually learning and using these resources. I didn't know how to do these things. So our four practices and our ethos is pursue Christ and walk with Him with all my heart. Pursue excellence in my workplace or profession. Three is live and disciple among lost people. Four is team with others of like heart and purpose. So city life distinctive, like we were talking about. So what is this? The Navigator's calling as a whole is to advance the gospel of Jesus and His kingdom into the nations through spiritual generations of laborers, living and discipling among the lost. Matthew 9:37-33 says, "Then He said to His disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest.'" And then Luke 10:1-2 says, "Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of Him to every city and place where He Himself was going to come. And He was saying to them, 'The Lord, or the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest.'" Okay. So there's one more video I'm going to show, and then we're going to be done with videos. But I'm going to talk to you guys about some of these questions and how do we actually move forward after we're getting out of college.
"I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Don't be like a horse or a mule that have no understanding, but must be kept with bit and bridle. They won't come with you. What a privilege it is over God, who promised to instruct and teach us and guide us in the way we should go. And how gracious God has been to us as navigators to give us our core, our calling, values and vision, to instruct us in the way we should go together as navigators. And in thinking about our calling, there are two illustrations that have helped me that I would like to just... The first is to think of our calling as an hourglass. At either end of our calling statement is the huge breadth and challenge of what God has called us to. The advance of the gospel into the nations, the loss in the nations that are on God's heart, and that drive us forward with His love and with the good news. But at the heart of our calling statement is this narrow focus that God has given us specifically as navigators to contribute to the advance of the gospel through spiritual generations of laborers. Right from the birth of our navigator movement with Dorse and those first few sailors, there was a focus on helping men and women become laborers, workers for the kingdom. People who would be mature in Christ, reproducing reproducers, is how Dorse and Trotman expressed this idea. And today still, God is calling us to contribute to the Great Commission through this focus that He's given us of helping people become laborers in a generational way so that their lives impact the lives of others in a multiplying way. Another way of thinking about our calling is to think of it as a string of pearls, great Bible ideas that God has threaded together for us in our calling. The gospel, Jesus, His kingdom, the nations, generations, laborers, discipling, the lost. These are all great themes of Scripture. And if we as navigators are going to fully grasp what God is calling us to, we've got to get into the Bible and understand each of these things. In Galatians 3, God says of Abraham that He preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. The gospel is something that reaches back 4,000 years. And as we advance the gospel, we need to enter into the fullness of what God means in the scriptures when he gives us the gospel. Each one of these things is a great theme of scripture then that we need to understand and embrace in order to understand the fullness of our calling. So let me urge us all as navigators to take our calling seriously, to get into the Bible together on these great themes, to stay focused on believing him for these spiritual generations of laborers, laborers who will live and disciple among the lost in the nations.
You guys noticed that Russell Moore was supposed to be also here today? He actually was going to be here. He and I have been doing this together, and he had to go up to Kansas because his father-in-law actually went into the hospital. So we'll pray for him as we kind of finish up. This whole idea is we don't want a person to take the tools that they learn in college and just give up on it and not know how to take it to the next step. So this NAV20s group is this group of people. We had a cookout actually about 2.5 months ago, and we had 70 people there. Just to give you guys an idea of what's actually going on here in Oklahoma City, we had 70, we had 20 kids under the age of 5, and we had 50 people come to this cookout. And these are all people that are after college trying to figure out what's going on, okay? Because and really connect with people. And I want to talk to you guys about these four pursuits here in a little bit. But I don't know if you guys ever feel overwhelmed, but there's a lot of times that I feel overwhelmed in my life. If you're going on to those next steps of, okay, getting a job, now you want to perform well, or you're wanting to have a family, or you're wanting to do other things, you want to be able to relate to other people that are doing the exact same thing. Okay, I'll tell you in a little bit what we're not, but what we are is we want to connect with people. It's not a one church thing. We're connecting with churches all over the city, and we want to help raise up people that can go back to their churches and help develop other disciples as well. Okay? So really, we're all interconnected. We talked about, you know, with this thought about laborers in mind, I asked you some of those questions. Those, you know, what is your plan over the next 3 to 5 years? These are only a few of the questions that face us in our 20s and 30s. You know, my wife and I think we've been married 6 years now. Russell, he's newly married. He just started his job in the last couple of years. He was at a job for 1 or 2 years, and he started his new job. They just got married last summer, okay? My wife and I, we've been married about 6 years. We've got people that are single. We've got people that are right out of college. So it's this whole group of right out of their teens up to in their 30s as well. So how does being a lifetime laborer fit into all these life decisions? If you have a personal relationship with Christ, you know he has a specific purpose for you during all of these life transitions. So why not make your life even more, even during the craziness and transition of life, honor and glorifying him? Wouldn't you guys agree? We want to glorify him in everything that we do. Proverbs 16:9, if any of you guys have maybe your Bible app, it's a man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. It says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. One of the things that I'm kind of a goal setter. Is anybody else in here like a goal setter? You like to set goals and you like to follow your plan, those kind of things. I'm almost like, I like to plan everything out almost to a fault, where sometimes that can be, I guess you could say, an idol for me. What I mean by that is if that is as equal to God, or if it's greater than God, then that, even if it's a good thing, it's not a good thing if it becomes greater than God itself. Proverbs 16:9 says, you can plan all you want, but the Lord is going to direct your steps, and he's going to guide you as you continue moving forward. It's dishonoring to God if we wait until all our ducks in a row. Career is on solid footing. You own a house. You start a family before we let his spirit direct our lives. So many of us act through what we need to get past all these life transitions before we really feel like we can be used by God. I talked to you about some of the current situations. The last statistic that didn't show up is 68% of those who believe they will go to heaven because they accepted Jesus Christ as Savior did not mention faith, religion, or spirituality when asked what was really important in life. So this NAV20s really fills the gap of what I was talking to you guys about. And I wish I could just memorize this and just talk to you guys because I was just a really polished speaker. Just like I need these notes. So this NAV20s, it's not really an organization. It's a movement that's happening all over the country. The mission of the NAV20s is to see us individuals in their post-college young family stages of life thrive in Christ and labor effectively right where we are. This platform is a launching pad to equip and provide resources so that we can skillfully carry the gospel right into each of our unique circles and peer networks, becoming generational laborers. Right where you are. So the first pursuit, we call them the four pursuits. Okay, the first pursuit is Christ. And pursuing Christ with everything that we have. Pursuing Christ in excellence. Matthew 22:36-40 says, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. With all your mind, this is the greatest, and this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hung on these two commandments." Philippians 3:7-11 says, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted on as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surprising value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I might gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Our first pursuit is really Christ, because if we pursue anything else, it wouldn't be right. Even if it's a good thing and it's not pursuing Christ, it's not the best thing. The second pursuit that we have is work. And we want to have this sense that we can pursue Christ, but we can pursue work with an excellent mindset. Okay? We can do the right things. We can work hard. We can work in a manner that glorifies and honors the Lord. We glorify and worship God as we give our best work. We reflect him to our friends and coworkers as we model his character. Our workplace is a primary place where, in Christ, we can be good news in the flesh to a broken, jaded, skeptical world. Okay, so how many of you guys are working during school? There's a lot of us. I remember working. I did work study, and I also had kind of another part-time business that I was doing. You're around lots of people. I mean, if you're a college student working, there's like retail jobs. There's all kinds of jobs you can be doing, right? Let me share some experiences of myself and kind of how I see that playing out in my current life. So I'm actually a recruiter. So what I do is I help find people, good jobs, and I help find companies, good people. So I'm actually around a lot of people, right? I talk to a lot of people all the time. How I see that playing out is not just the people that I'm helping find good places to work, but people that I work with aren't believers. Just an example of what we did here recently is there's someone that I actually work with that when I've been talking to her, as we've been meeting with clients, wherever it might be, she says her husband would probably consider himself an atheist. She says, you know, I grew up in a way that, you know, we didn't go to church all the time, but every once in a while we went. And so I don't really know a lot about, you know, Christ or the church or religious stuff. And we just invited them and another coworker over to dinner because we knew that if we don't have a relationship with people, you have no influence if you don't have a relationship. Would you guys agree? If there's no relationship, there's no connection, then you can't really influence them in any way. And I knew that if that topic came up, I probably, in my opinion, I wasn't going to approach it the first time because my perspective was he was going to be defending his point of view. But if they got to know me and we were friends, then we could really talk on a friend level, you know, and be able to connect about what that actually looks like, what that next step is if they have questions. And as you look, as they see your life and how you live out your life, and they see, like, our kids, like, I'll be honest with you, there's this perception when you get out of college that's like, there's this perfect family that's got it all together. You got the perfect kids and the perfect car and the perfect house and you got the perfect job and all this stuff, right? But one of the things I like to tell people is I'm messed up, you're messed up, we're all messed up, it's all good. You know what I mean? I'm messed up, you're messed up, we're all messed up. We all got dysfunction in our families, right? Okay, if you're not nodding your head, then anyways, we wouldn't be telling the truth, right?
Right.
We've got a lot of dysfunction in our family, okay? But that doesn't mean that that doesn't exist. That's a scenario that we paint in our heads of these perfect families, okay? But that's just not the case. We do life on life. This is what we're talking about, doing life on life together, right? That's the relationship we're developing. And I told one of the couples that came over, he actually just started going to church in the last year, and we were on a trip in Kansas City, a business trip, and I told him, I said, I have a project with the people in our office that I don't think are believers of how I'm going to approach, you know, praying for these people and doing life with these people, life on life, right? So that's work. Some scripture that goes along with that, Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Matt 5:16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The first one's Colossians 3, 23 and 24. The second one was Matthew 5:16. The third pursuit that we talk about is going to be mission. So the first one is Christ. The second one is work. The third one is mission. Skillfully carrying the gospel into each individual's unique circles and peer networks. One of the things that we've found out is everybody has their unique calling in life. Everybody has a calling. But a lot of us, when we're getting out of school, don't know what that calling is. So we're stuck and we're frustrated and we're wanting to have it already and we're wanting to know it already, but it's just not coming. It's just not there. Or maybe we're not hearing the Lord, or maybe we're not seeking it, or maybe He's just not talking to us. I don't know what it is, right? But what we want to do is we want to come alongside people and we really want to try to help them figure out what their unique calling is in life. Or if they've already figured out and found out what that calling is in life, we want to come alongside them and help them accomplish what that calling is for their life. That's essentially what we're talking about when we talk about mission. Matthew 28:19-20. Does anybody know that one? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You guys know in Greek, when it talks about go, therefore, it actually means as you go. So as you go, it's not like we have to go to be missionaries. My brother is actually a missionary in Guatemala, in Valencia, Guatemala. And he was telling me the other day that his two-year-old, which is about the same age as my two-year-old, woke up and he got out of bed and there was a scorpion in his bed. And I was like, that is crazy. I'm like, we don't understand that kind of stuff here in America. We don't understand that kind of stuff, right? We want to help people figure out what their mission is. I don't know why I said that story. I
was going to ask that.
I don't know. We don't have to go be missionaries as we are going. Okay. So as we do life, sorry. Thank you. Okay, so as we do life, it's like we can share who we are and how we act the way we do and who we are in Christ just by our example in life. So as you go, share the gospel with other people, right? The king will answer and say, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it, to the one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Acts 20:24. But I do not consider myself, my life, of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly to the gospel of the grace of God. All right. So the last one is going to be community. The last pursuit that we have is community. Fostering an authentic sense of Christian brotherhood and sisterhood, encouraging one another and sharing praises and struggles together. How we're doing this so far as community, as the NAV20s, we did this cookout. We're planning things like going and doing dodgeball together. We're going to go do paintball. Or we'll go do some service work in the community. You know, like around Thanksgiving and Christmas, we're going to go downtown, you know, and we're going to serve as a group together. It's just not about activities, but it's about this relationship that we actually form with people. Because one of the things that we want to share as NAV20s is there's two things, really. We want to be able to share relationships. We want to be able to share resources. That's what we're, as a group, wanting to do, so that people can go back in their circles right where they are, and they can make an impact for God. So we did this cookout, and it was awesome. Like, we didn't know, like, my wife and I and Russell and his wife, like, we're doing this because every single city in the country has, not every single city, but there's these big cities, let's say 10 to 15 cities that have these NAV20 movements, and every single one's completely different. Like if we try to get an example of an example of what we need to do, it's just not there, okay? Because every single city is going to be completely different. We're wanting to partner with OU and OSU and OCU and Langston and SNU and all these different universities, because as people get out of school, we want to be able to offer a resource of people that they can plug in and they can say, I'm a part of this, okay? You guys may be juniors and seniors right now, but we want you to know what there is out there and what we're building. You know, these are people that have like-minded people that say, man, I want to lead a team of 5 to 8 people. We're not just wanting to add something on top of your plate, but we want to continue furthering the gospel and furthering ourselves on how we can actually reach other people. There's lots of things, fun things we're going to do. We want to connect relationships. Here's what we aren't. We are not replacing church. We're partnering with them. Just like I said, churches all over the city. I think there's probably 8 to 10 churches that were represented at this cookout we had just a few months ago. We're not a man-to-man, woman-to-woman discipleship. You know, this is a discipleship conference, but we're not here to disciple someone one-on-one. You know, we want to provide connections to therefore you can get connected and do man-to-man or woman-to-woman ministry one-on-one. We want to connect you with people, but we're not here to do that for you, if that makes sense. We're not trying to add something else to your busy schedule. I don't know if you guys can, I mean, like I just told you, I have 3 kids, getting ready to have a 4th, business, my wife, you know, is a full-time mom. It's just busyness, okay? And a lot of people that may be in my situation, they say, a lot of people are saying, I just don't want to add something else to my schedule. And we don't want to do that to people. I'll just be real honest with you guys. When we're talking about doing these events, it might be on a quarterly basis, maybe once every 2, 3, 4, maybe 4 months, where we get together as a group and say, oh yeah, I'm connected with this person, this person's connected with this person, and we all have these relationships when we go back to our churches. But we want to also help connect people. When they were talking about City Life teams, you know, before in the very beginning video, if you guys can remember that far back, that City Life team, we want to connect people in ideally 5 to 8 people teams. They're saying, I'm committed. Maybe I want to start leading a Bible study that maybe meets once every 2 weeks. Or maybe we're going to go out and do work and serve in the community as well. Okay? So we want to connect people. I'm going to kind of summarize. So what we want to provide you, we want to help you through these transitions. Learn from one another, college, career, church, house, marriage, kids, God, materials and mentors. Like I said, relationships and resources. We want to have fun. You guys want to have fun. We want to have fun. We don't want to make this boring. No one wants to come to something that's boring. Wouldn't you guys agree? We want to have parties. We call them party lucks. Okay? Because no one likes a potluck. You know, you go to church, you got a potluck. Everybody likes a party. You know, people like potlucks because there's food. Yeah. Right? You got food. Okay. You know, God, you have dinner together, you break bread together, you develop a relationship. Because it's always, almost all of these stories in the Bible are like focused around food. People like food, so we call them party lucks. So we have people over and we're going to have lots of party lucks. Because we have a party, potluck, we have lots of food, okay? And then prayer as well. One of the things about prayer is that, you know, there's life groups at churches and those kinds of things. We don't want to replace that. We want to offer something that's not being offered anywhere else. Like, if I get together with my friend and I say, hey, listen, this person doesn't know Christ, let's you and I pray for this person, or let's meet up together maybe for lunch, and let's pray for this person, this specific person, let's pray for this one specific person that you work with about him coming to Christ. That's not being done anywhere else. Wouldn't you guys agree? That's not really being done, you know, out there. I'm not seeing that done unless you guys know of other places, okay? And we want to pray for you, and we want to pray for, you know, what's going on in your life. So just a couple of illustrations. Churches, just as an example, is kind of like a salt block where it's like, hey, come. You know, if you're evangelical, hey, come. It's going to be awesome. We want you to come to church. Whereas, like, if you lick the salt block, you have to, like, lick it to get the salt. But it's like you have to come to it. We want to be like salt shakers going with you, kind of peppering people with the salt of Christ wherever you go. So it's kind of taking it with you as you go. Okay, maybe bad illustration. I'll change that for next time. Pepper?
I don't know if you're going to use the word peppering people.
Peppering, salt? Salting people? So here's another example. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself It must remain in the vine. Neither you can bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's just kind of like these grapes right here. It's like we're all the branches. We're wanting to connect people together so therefore they can go out and not feel like they're doing this alone. If you're still in college, and everybody in this room is, you know, you're going to continue to grow your walk in Christ and get plugged in with the Navigators, BSU, other local church and parachurch ministries that are enabling and equipping you while you're on campus. We're going to have events every summer. So next summer, if some of you guys are seniors and you're like, I'm going to be moving to the city, you know, whatever it is, we want you guys to get plugged in. We want you guys to come to some of our party lux. We want you guys to be a part of what we got going on here in Oklahoma City. For those of you guys that may know other people that have already graduated, and maybe they are wanting to get plugged in, have them join us, communicate to us, you know, get our contact information. That way we can help them as well. We're, like I said, we're going to do large community events 4 to 6 times a year. There's tons of opportunities. You know, some of these opportunities that are coming up, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of KMI. For some of you men in here, it's called Key Man's event, and that happens in the spring. And that's one of the things that, you know, as you're graduating, that's kind of for discipleship for men. Community service, Bible studies. There's a Key Woman's conference in Norman that happened last year. Am I right? My wife went to that one. I know she met up with Jen Kelsey, and she really loved going out to that. More frequent, smaller communities are going to be done through kind of grassroots, you know, right where you are type networks. You know, 5 to 8 people, something to that effect. Russell, he has an example here where his wife volunteers at the Hope Pregnancy Center and helps those women. You know, that's one of her passions. The NAV20s, you know, we offer connections to a larger group, just like we talked about. I wanted to get some feedback from you guys on what we're doing and kind of see how you see yourselves might being able to plug in, or maybe how it works. Or does anybody have any questions or thoughts based on what we talked about so far, or I've talked about so far? And you guys have listened.
So this is more so about like joining a team of Navigators.
Yeah. That are 20s and 30s. Be a part of something bigger than just ourselves. Be a part of something that is like-minded people. Want to do the same thing. Advance the gospel.
Are they all in the country already? Like if someone were to graduate and they got a job and...
Most of the major metro areas, Seattle, we have the ones that I know of, so there's a guy, Serge. Serge is in Houston. We've developed these connections with these NAV20s all over the country, and what we do is we have leadership teams, and we all meet twice a year, every 6 months. So if you want to be a part of like the leadership team, we are more than welcome. We want people that want to be involved in these leadership teams. And by the way, this isn't something to where... You know, it's my wife and I. It's like we're wanting to trust God in what He's going to be doing with this. It's like we're wanting to train up the people that are really going to be taking over the NAV20s. My wife and I are going to be, she's younger than I am, so she's in her 20s, but I'm in my 30s, right? So it's like we want to train up people that can see themselves, you know, leading this, but trusting God to lead it and them just kind of be a part of it. Here's some of the places that I know of: Houston, Seattle, Dallas, L.A., Atlanta. I know there's a couple places in Florida, New York. I mean, it's like, I don't know all the places, but Minneapolis, Kansas City, you know. Yeah, so there's actually a website. If you just go to the Navigators website, I don't know if it's nav20s.com, but the Navigators website, there's probably a link for the NAV20s, and then there's actually a map. What I've been suggesting to people is they can reach out to us, or they try to go to the website. I think they're in the process of redoing some of the website stuff to make it really easy, because it's kind of complicated. But there is a map of all the different places that Navigators are and then NAV20s are. And if there's not a NAV20s, they can reach out to the Navigators and say, do we have a NAV20s here, or can we start a NAV20s here? You know, something to that effect.
Just Google NAV20s, it'll probably show up.
You guys are awesome. Perfect. I like it. Anything else? What kind of suggestions do you guys have? What do you see that you can take from what you're learning and what you guys are doing in your collegiate ministries that would be helpful or something that maybe we haven't addressed so far? They may have given me too much time for question and answer.
I guess one question I would have is, how would you recommend taking the training that you've received, and then once you go to a new place and are involved in a church that probably, you know, doesn't have a lot of discipleship focus, and not a lot of churches do, how do you use that training and to be a blessing to the world?
Yeah, that's a really good question. First, I'd kind of try to figure out what they specifically do have and try to figure out, hey, listen, because there's language that certain churches use when they talk about discipleship. And if they don't use that language, then they'll use maybe something else. For me, in my opinion, I would try to figure out how to start up maybe a small group of people that we can get and start just from a grassroots, you know, start building these relationships and starting a group. You know, that's one of the things that we're also figuring out. So I don't know if I have the best answer for that, but we're trying to figure out how to go out and equip people and have them have the right training. But if it was, like, is there a specific part of the country? Are you talking about Oklahoma City area?
No, I mean, I was thinking specifically of...
Specific church?
Where I lived in Texas before. I've been out of school, like, how long? 8 or 9 years.
Yeah, yeah. So you're like, so, you're like me. Okay.
But that's what I was thinking about. Like, for many of our students, they'll graduate and then they'll go to, you know, move out of state or go to churches in their hometown. And a lot of them don't have, you know, aren't really discipleship based. And so a lot of our students will go into churches that don't have that sort of mindset. Or they'll go into a big church in another city, and then they have to kind of figure out, what does it look like to use these tools that I've gained through my college years in a church setting. So I think it's making the transition between, like, the parachurch ministry,
yeah,
in the BCM, and then moving into a local church.
Yeah. My only thoughts are, I think that's kind of what we're trying to do. And so, therefore, it's hard for me to say, you know, it's like you have to have some committed people that are there. And if these are the people that are going to be the committed people, I don't know the answer to that question, to be honest with you.
I don't entirely.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's it. I only had 4 slides, but I talked a lot. Yeah.
Do you have anything you'd like to share as far as maybe one or a few really, like, good things that you've learned through leading this ministry?
Yeah. One of the things that I was talking about planning, like, so I actually, before I started doing recruiting, I actually had my own financial advising business for 12 years. So I'm kind of like one of those guys that really plans a lot, right? And I like, I plan things. My wife is like, she's off the cuff, like, doing things just randomly.
Spontaneous.
Spontaneous, right? And I'm not. I am, like, planning things out, right? And so one of the things that I've learned is that trying to plan things like a ministry, or trying to fit in, what is God really wanting to do with me, and I need to plan this out, that doesn't really work always. Because it really taught me to lean more on Christ. And I don't know what the verse is in the Bible, but it talks about how, just like in Proverbs 16:9, where he's going to guide your steps. Well, a lot of times, if you have a flashlight, you can only maybe see 20 feet ahead. But you're not going to be able to see any further ahead until you take a few steps forward. One of the things that I learned was that I can't plan everything out in my own life, and that I have to take a step forward and just move forward, not knowing exactly what's going to happen, so that I can see what God's really uncovering for this ministry as we continue to move forward. It's allowed me to trust in this bigger picture, that it's much more bigger than I can really even imagine. This ministry is going to be, it's amazing because God is working, and it's not me or Russell or my wife or any of the other 20s that have been doing it. It's God stirring among us, and it's this movement of people that really want to learn about Christ, and we don't want to be, we want that community, but we want to seek God first more than anything else. So in my quiet time, I've been really realizing that, you know, just to depend on Him more and pray more about it. And He seems to give me more guidance as we uncover moving forward. So that's really hard for me, I'll be honest with you guys. That's really hard for me coming from a planning background. But knowing that I'm leaning on the Lord, it's much easier. So going by faith. Thank you, guys. It's been awesome. It's been real great. So if you guys have questions or you're graduating or think of people, man, we'd love you to be a part of what we're doing. And as we continue to learn and grow. And so if you guys don't mind, I'll pray for us real quick. You know, as we're leaving, I didn't really pray for us in the beginning. I forgot to. And then we'll kind of go from there. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this group of young people in our lives. And I just want to thank you for their willingness, their coachability. They want to seek you. They want to love you. They want to know you. And they want to advance the gospel. And dear Lord, I just want to thank you for these people here tonight that they're wanting to learn and how to make you known. Lord, I just want to thank you for this awesome facility and this awesome conference that we're going to be able to learn more about you. You're going to reveal yourself to us throughout our prayers. I know specifically we are all here for a specific reason, that you want to teach us something. You want to have us know something more about you. And I just want to thank you for this awesome time that we got a chance to share in fellowship and friendship as peers together. And dear Heavenly Father, I just want to ask that you put your favor upon every single person in this room, grant them access to relationships that would help, you know, grow your kingdom. And Lord, I just want to thank you for all these awesome people. So we pray for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Copyright by the Navigators, 2013. All rights reserved.